I have with me owner of one of the biggest sound system in the UK, V-Rocket. The sound system is known internationally around the world. Your name is?
My name's Valerie, otherwise known to many people as Lady V or Mother V or V-Rocket.
Is it Lady V, Mother V, V-Rocket? Which one would you prefer today?
I'd say Lady V.
Lady V. When did V-Rocket sound system really begin?
Well, V-Rocket started back in the 60s, early 60s, before I came to the UK. I arrived in the UK in 1966 with one of my brothers. And on arriving to the UK, we found that my mum and dad had started this sound system as a 50 watt, a very small, what we'd call house party sound system that was playing around the Nottingham area in house parties.
When you say a 50 watt party sound, could you describe to me what a sound system really is?
Well, a sound system to some people, breaking it down small, would be a mobile disco where you have speaker boxes that consist of your treble section, your mid-range section, and your bass section, and you'd have your amplifiers and a preamp, or to some people a mixer. With sound system, reggae sound systems, you could also compare it similar to a PA system. It's much larger than what we'd call a mobile disco. So it's great big massive 18-inch speakers that is pushing enormous power.
So really, it's a very large stereo.
Extremely large.
I know this next question in today's world would be deemed as discriminating, but didn't you find it strange or out of place with you being the only female sound system owner in a man's world today?
Well, to begin with, yes. But how that came about was, I grew up with my brothers and their school friends, and being the only female at home at the time, my sisters had left home fairly young. I grew up with the lads, so to say. And being at home, it was a case that I had to sort of fit into the things that my brothers did. Football and cricket and the sound system, because they was the ones that was in charge of it. So to begin with, it was strange, but over the years, you know, people, it made it unique, to be honest.
How did you get your bookings?
Well, to begin with, back in the days, my brothers, they used to get their bookings through playing at local parties. However, what happened when I became involved, I was waiting to go to college. And I used to hear them coming and complaining that they had a booking and hadn't been paid. So an idea came across that because I was at home, I would then start to be acting agent. So it turned out that what I did was to create our own bookings to bring artists from Jamaica over to perform on the sound, to give it a more high profile, more international and more UK-wide recognition. So by putting on our own event, it also made it easier eventually for people to acknowledge V-Rocket.
Wasn't this a customary activity? Because in Jamaica at the time, sound systems like Sir Cox and Duke Reid, they did something similar. They used to have the MC or a known local artist DJing or singing on their sound system. Was that something that you was trying to replicate here in the UK?
Absolutely. Most definitely. Because at the time, back in those days, back in the 70s, 80s, what would happen if you had the top DJs or singers that was doing well on records, then to have them performing on your sound system would obviously give you a bigger profile and a bigger name. So yes, in a sense, it was to replicate what was taking place in Jamaica and bring it to the UK.
When your sound system was playing out, what sort of obstacles were you faced with?
Well, to begin with, back in those days, it was hard to get into venues. So a lot of the parties was held in houses. One of the problem was many a times the sign would get arrested by the police. We'd go back the next morning and the doors and the windows are boarded up and we'd rip them off. And we get in there and the sound's not there and we'd have to go down to the local police station to get the equipment back out.
These parties were deemed as illegal parties then?
Very much so, yes. Because at the time, back in the Teddy Boy era, you know, clubs didn't want to accept black people going into the venue. So we had to make our own entertainment. And this is why we had what we call blues parties, which is the equivalent of house parties.
You say that clubs didn't want you to enter into their venues. Did you find that a discrimination, racism?
Oh, most definitely. But after a while, we started to get into school halls and eventually, well, in Nottingham, for instance, we was able to get in one and two of the local clubs where we'd be able to string up the sound systems and do our thing. But it was very difficult, as it is today.
So how would you and your family overcome the racism and the discrimination that V-Rocket Sound System was facing? What would you do to tackle it? Did you fight back? Did you report them to the police? What initiatives did you do to get around these obstacles?
Well, it was difficult at the time because they just wouldn't accommodate it. So what would happen, we would move from one house to another. So tonight would be one place, another night would be another place. So it wasn't a case that we could complain to the police because the police was against us also. So at the end of the day, what we had to do was make do with what was available.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Are you saying to me that police were showing racism as well and discrimination? Or are you saying to me the police didn't want to know because you were doing illegal parties?
Well, combination of both, really.
Collecting records. How did you obtain your music for the sound? Did you have to do anything special to get your records?
Well, apart from having the local shops, then one of the things that I enjoyed right through my involvement with running V-Rocket was having to travel to Jamaica to voice our dub plates from Channel One or King Tubby's, Joe Gibbs, Sir Coxon. We used to travel over there 3, 4, 5 times a year, get artists to perform special tracks that would be of no value to another sound system so that when we challenge, for instance, or clash another sound, we would be able to play specialist records so as to identify V-Rocket. So we used to travel to Jamaica regularly to buy our 7 inches, our 12 inches, our dub plates, LPs. And although we had our local shops, I can remember one of the shops we used to very much pick up our pre-releases was Dalston Lane in London. We used to travel up from Nottingham and go down there once, twice a week and, you know, make sure we purchase and keep our record boxes up to date. But apart from shopping locally, it was fantastic to be able to go to Jamaica and voice specialist records and to get other records that wouldn't be necessarily available in the UK.
It sounds like a very costly adventure.
Well, back in the days, it was a hobby. So whatever payment we would receive, we would save it over a period of time to enable us to make these trips and to be able to purchase our records. As a sound system based in the East Midlands, in Nottingham, we used to travel all over the UK, Derby, Birmingham, Leeds, Leicester, Sheffield, London, Manchester, places like Ipswich, Norwich, Luton, Northampton. We've been places like Scotland, Ireland. Outside of the UK, we've been places in Europe, France, we've been to Italy, we've done Switzerland, we've been to places like America, we've been to Gambia. We went to Jamaica with the full sound system back in 1987. Having to get the opportunity to travel, it helped us to see how other people internationally react to reggae music so we could, you know, make way and change things. We couldn't ask for, you know, a better thing to be in our lives. V-Rocket's been our life. It's been my life from the age of 7 till now. And, you know, I hope for it to live on. My son, who's 19 now, he's a part of it. And the guys who I run the sound with, their sons are now part of it. So, you know, it's handing down through the generations.
Promoting reggae music in the early 60s and 70s, how difficult was it to promote reggae music to a mass audience?
Well, the thing is, in the 60s and 70s, we were shut out from the local radio stations. We would have to print our leaflets. We'd have to print street posters. We didn't have the radio stations then. The sound system was the radio station, in the aspect where people would go out to find out which is the latest It's Tunes or what's the next track coming from Dennis Brown or any new artist or any artist, so to speak. So we was the radio station, and we still are the radio station, because when a new artist does a new tune, they send it to us and we play out and we promote it. Listen out for this one. This one's going to create a storm. So as far as the promotion side was concerned, we, and still now, we have to get our leaflets together. We have to make sure we print enough to get around to as much people as possible. We have to get our big street posters out. And again, we have to go around the streets and put them in the shops on the walls so people could see it in passing, whether you're on foot or driving.
You just mentioned some names. You said Joe Gibbs, Sir Coxon. Who are these individuals and what do they mean to you?
Well, these people are the original, the backbone of the reggae industry. These are the people that is recognized worldwide as being responsible for producing and putting out great tracks over the years. The Dennis Browns, the Bob Marleys, Gregory Isaacs, to name but a few. So the backbone structure of studios, producers, that started back in the days the industry kicked it off. And we could go on naming many, many producers and studios that, you know, make up this whole reggae industry. So they mean a lot to me, because when I started in the sound system, they was the producers and the studios that we used to go and buy our records and wait for them to put out great tracks.
Traveling the world with V-Rocket, how have you seen reggae music being accepted around the world?
Oh, it's massive. Reggae is far bigger than where it originated in Jamaica. I've been to Japan to an event that sold out to 50, 55,000 people in Yokohama. And it's 100% Japanese playing reggae. I've been to Africa, Europe. I've travelled. And reggae is far bigger than where it started from. It's embraced. It's a part of every genre of music. You can hear bits of reggae in there. So it's enormous. And, you know, I still think there's room for it to get even bigger.
Would you agree or disagree that reggae music can be played more frequently in more nightclubs?
Definitely. There is artists that do commercial reggae. You have artists that do more hardcore stuff. I would personally like to see more reggae. A lot of the young people nowadays, they're into the Sean Pauls and the Shaggy, Beanie Man. So, yes, I don't see why it shouldn't be played more than what it is. It shouldn't be held back because there's a message there.
You have been with the V-Rocket sound system since the 60s. I want you explain to me, as little words as possible, how you have seen the change in the genres of music from Mento right down to this modern time now.
It's changed massively. When we started out, we used to have one turntable, one changer, as we say, where you would listen to the vocal side of a record and you'd flip it to the rhythm and you'd get the artist singing or DJing on the flip side. It's changed a whole lot. One drop was the thing back in those days, and you used to find that a lot of the artists used to, the material used to involve reality, things that they was living on a daily basis, things that they were seeing and experiencing. Over the years, if we're talking about now to before, it's totally changed. Now you're hearing quite a lot of the hip-hop element that's crept in. For me, it's, we're not producing the quality lyrics that we once had back in my day when I first started. So I would say it's changed a whole lot over the years from when it started, when I started to now.
With the changes from mento to ska to rocksteady to reggae, even lovers rock, what would you say was your best time with those genres of music?
Boy, that is a big question. Because I, as a young girl, I used to, on a Sunday when my mum and dad's playing the Blue Spot Gram, it used to be the ska. And, you know, I used to be cleaning up and doing my little jigging around the house. It's difficult to say, because when we say reggae, all of that is reggae, in my opinion, right? And I'm a lover right across the board. Dancehall, bashment, whatever you want to call it, it all fits in one word, reggae music. Burning Spear, I was always inspired by Burning Spear. Roots and culture, lovers rock. You know, I've got a special feel because I'm a cultural person, so I love things that has meaning, things that sends out positive message, especially to the youths. So if I had to be pushed in a corner and say what section of it I really love, I love the roots and culture section of the old thing, the Bob Marleys, the Burning Spears, you know, a lot of stuff that the Bunny Wailers, and I could go on naming that era of artists. You know, that's the section that I would more say in my time.
I know we could sit here all day long and talk about reggae music and where it's coming from and where it is today and things that we could do to improve it and take it even further to a bigger stage. But when we speak about reggae music, the first thing that jumps to everyone's mind is Bob Marley. Yes, Bob Marley, if you agree with me, has been one of the ambassadors for reggae music. But would you say that there's other artists that really put reggae music on the map as well?
Oh, most definitely. You couldn't leave out the Prince of Reggae, the late, great Dennis Emmanuel Brown. Then you have artists like, for me, Alton Ellis. A lot of the late greats that's passed away, it's not just been Bob Marley. There's been, you know, the Cool Ruler, for instance, Jacob Miller. A lot of the great voices of reggae, and for lots that's still here with us, Barry Salmon, groups like Mighty Diamonds, Morgan Heritage, they've all contributed to the international levels of reggae music. So, you know, it's not just Bob. If you remember Garnet Silk, he wasn't on the scene as long as we'd have loved him to have been, but he made a massive impact when he came about. Sadly, he passed away at a young age. But, you know, we could go on naming great artists that's no longer here, and artists that's still here that's contributed massively to the reggae industry worldwide.
Lady V, it was a great pleasure speaking to you, and hopefully one day again we could continue this conversation with more time on our side.
Thank you.